So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Dan Latto speaking. Hope you're well today. So in today's session, first of all, welcome to the Property Cash Flow Show. Look, we've got some fancy little pictures and things. Welcome to the Mastermind Group. That's really awesome. I've been meaning to get these done for ages. Anyway, if you've got a question about property, now is the time to answer that. But in today's session, I want to talk to you about money. We're coming up to Christmas, and money is like one of those taboo subjects that people kind of feel that they can't discuss. They can't discuss it with mum and dad. They can't discuss it with kids. They can't discuss it with family. And it kind of bothers me a little bit. And I think money should be something that we should talk about openly. And you don't need to share how much money you earn, but you should be talking about and sharing about the principles of money, about the principles of investing and the dangers of having large credit card bills, large consumer debt and that kind of thing. And I remember a friend of mine years and years ago going, oh, I've got up to £100,000 worth of credit cards available to go and spend, as though that was his money. And I look back at that now, it makes me cringe, but that's just who we used to be. You know, it's kind of who we are. I can go buy a new car on a credit card and buy the whole new wardrobe on a credit card. And here we are kind of 20 years later, and he's probably still paying that damn debt off. The clothes have got holes in, or he's moved 18 times and he's not got them anymore. And we have this idea that consumer debt is the way forward. If you can't afford the holiday, just bang it on a card. No, that's wrong. It's completely wrong. If you got a holiday, like, for example, we're going to Disney, he says, touch wood, we're going to Disney in July or August. That's what we think. And hopefully the vaccine will be fine and everyone will be kind of back to normal. But we don't put a holiday like Disney on a credit card. We save money. And it doesn't matter how much money you get. We work out how many months have we got. So we had, and this is going to be a numbers session, okay? Because whatever this is, it just happens to be a holiday. But whatever this is how you're supposed to save for it, not go and put it on a credit card. We'll talk about credit cards and so on in a few minutes. We're also going to talk about why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. I want to talk about that as well. But look, if you've got a holiday in 10 months, okay, £200 a month, is £2,000. Make sure you can see that. Yeah, you can. So that's fairly obvious. If you want to spend £2,500 and, you know, push the boat out a little bit, what a weird saying that is, it's simply 10 times £250 is £2,500. And we're staying at the Disney Hotel, very, very nice. We're very pleased and happy and lucky and all that bollocks. It's not luck. We worked really hard to get that, right? And we've saved. That's what we do. We save for whatever it happens to be that we happen to be getting. We don't borrow money from the future to get what we want today. That's what caused the problem in the first place with consumer debt. You know, we had £80,000 worth of credit card debt at one point. We were absolutely crazy. And we're going to talk about, again, credit cards. And we're going to talk about why the rich get richer and the poor stay poor. Because I think it's really important that we have this conversation. And too many people are unprepared to have this conversation because it's kind of like a taboo subject. But look, whatever it happens to be that you want, I was checking the phone yesterday, a new Galaxy 20 Ultra. It's €1,000, right? So €1,000 is 10 times 100. So we're just going to save that money up. We'll buy it in 10 months. And in 10 months' time, it'll be the Galaxy 100 or whatever it happens to be. And we'll buy that one. But that's how you do it. Whatever it happens to be, if you've got a, you know, if you need a, you want to buy a house and the deposit on a house is £15,000, okay, let's just say you can buy a house for that these days if you're up north. We've been looking at a few recently where you can just put £15,000 down, you make £200 a month for the rest of your life, pretty much. It's a nice little investment. But if you've got £15,000, like, how do you split that up? Well, it could be 10 times 1,500, okay, and you'll go, Dan, I can't do 1,500, but another obvious one is 100. Times £150 a month, that's what, about 8 years? And okay, maybe not quite what we want, or maybe it could be 50 months at 300. Can you save £300 a month for the next just over 4 years? Yeah, probably could, right? Or maybe 25 months would be £600 a month. Like, that one quite right there is kind of doable. You might have to sell your car and buy, you know, if you're spending £300-400 a month on your car, which is an asset that depreciates in value. These are my cars. Very good car. There's my little sports car that I haven't got. That goes down in value. Okay. Here, you want about buying a house that goes up in value. Not only does it go up in value, but it pays you monthly, every single month. That's why we invest in property. Now, 10 times those at £200 a month, you're getting £2,000 every single month from your properties. That's how we live these days. This is how we do it. And one of the reasons why the rich get richer and the poor stay poor is that the poor, and when I say poor, by the way, and you're not going to like this definition at all, that's why I'm saying it, ruffle a few feathers, why not? It's only Wednesday, not upset anybody, I don't think, this week, so time to start. But anybody who's poor is anyone who's got a job and anyone who's got consumer debt. If you've got those two things, you're poor, okay? How do I know if you're not poor? Get rid of your consumer debt. Like, it amazes me. It's just, it blows my mind. There's a saying out there right now, if your credit score is lower than the cost of an Xbox One, do not buy the Xbox One, right? You know, if your credit score is 475, let's say, 475, and an Xbox is 500 quid, 550, whatever, and that's your credit rating, and you're all about buying an Xbox, you've got your priorities wrong. That's not going to help you in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. It's not going to help your future kids in 30, 40 years. You've got to start doing it yourself because your kids are going to learn from you. And if you get this wrong continually on an ongoing basis, guess what? Your kids are also going to get that wrong. And we don't want that to happen. Let's just talk about why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Like during coronavirus, the wealthy's investments have gone through the roof. If you look at what happened in March at stock prices, well, in March, stock woof, hit the floor, right? And then it's come back up. Now, if you'd have invested, if you had a lump sum of money, 50 grand, that'd be worth £100,000. Just 6 months later, you'd have doubled your investment in a time of coronavirus. And when people are telling me, but damn, people are losing their jobs and people are going bust and people are being made homeless, you're absolutely right. The reason in that situation is they've got fancy cars, fancy big TVs, fancy clothes, credit card debt, consumer debt, loans, school fees, all this stuff, right? And they've got zero assets that are going up in value or zero cash sat in the bank for when an opportunity comes along. Okay, so let's look at this as we talk about an opportunity coming along, but I'm going to talk about the difference between rich and poor. So an opportunity coming along. Let's say you've got 50 grand sat in the account, okay? And this is opportunity. This could be basically the stock market as it was. This, and then we get to March. Whoa, fell off a cliff. Look at any stock chart for the last 12 months. This is what you see. Now, go back. Where would you have wanted to have invested, do you think? Let's just change this one because this one was like here maybe. No, that's about right. Where would you have wanted to have invested? Here? Yeah? How about here? And what if, some people did invest there, by the way. Oh, do you know what those people did when the stock market crashed? They sold out here. They lost all this money. That's ridiculous. Why not just wait 5 years? In 5 years' time, it'll be up here somewhere. All they had to do was wait, but they didn't wait. They panicked and sold. It's ridiculous. People, oh, do you think house prices are going up or do you think they're going down? I don't know. I don't even care. If house prices are low and I'm buying here, great. Hopefully, they'll go up. But what if, let's get rid of that, what if house prices then go here? Brilliant, I'll buy there too. Because they're going back up at some point. But people are getting rid of this stuff. They're selling out. But now let's just go back to our £50,000 that we've got. So you've got 50 grand sat in the account. It's not doing anything. And we have clients who've got this money sat in the account and they're like, it's burning a hole in my pocket down. I've got to invest in something. I feel like I'm wasting. And those people, some of them went and invested here. And actually, if they'd just waited for the right opportunity, they could have invested here. We invested in something just recently. I can't remember what it was. We bought some stocks. And the reason we bought some stocks is the share price went down. Actually, I don't think we actually bought them. We bought a lot of stocks recently, but I don't think we actually bought them. Was it BA? They lost like 9% in one day, something like that. That's the time to buy. So let's do that diagram again. Let me wipe this one out. Do this diagram again. Let's take British Airways. I don't know if it was British Airways. But this is the key, right? It's that wealthy people have reserves available or they are prepared for when opportunity arises. So let's just say this is BA here, it's going along nicely, then it's got a little drop, and then it goes along nicely. Where do you want to invest? Like, ideally here, this is year dot, this is today. I don't know what year dot is, call it year 2000. But on the news, 9% dropping, do you think BA is going bust? Like, they might do, by the way. And rule number one of investing is never lose money. So there's a good chance they probably won't. And then just continue, and that's exactly what happened. So let's just talk about the difference between rich and poor, because I think this is so important, and I do rattle on about this a little bit, maybe too often, or maybe not often enough, actually. But let's just talk about this. So the way that most people operate is they've got credit cards. Oops, is that the wrong pen? One of these pens isn't very good, and I need to throw it away, and I keep forgetting. Credit cards, loans, school fees. Like, school fees isn't a bad thing, but bear in mind it's costing you 500 a month. Loans might be 200, credit cards might be 300. Right there, you've got £1,000. I'm not convinced. I used to be convinced, but you know, private school, is it better than private school, public school? Maybe from a networking point of view, maybe. Let's remove school fees, because I don't like having school fees on there. I think school fees is an investment for your kid, by the way, so let's get rid of that. It's just not an investment for you because it costs you your cash flow, but still an investment. Mortgage, let's put that there, because most people, they buy a mortgage, they buy a house rather, and get a mortgage up to the maximum that they can afford. Let's say it's 750 right there. Let's do it 700 just because it's easier maths. Three, so that's £1,200 right there. So straight away, I've got £1,200. Now, I'm not saying that you don't live somewhere. In fact, let's get rid of mortgage as well, because I'm not happy with that one being, because you have to live somewhere. If it's not a mortgage, it's a rent. But you've got credit cards, you've got loans, you've got car. And, well, I want to drive a nice car, Dan. I want to drive a nice Mercedes. £500. We're back to 1,000 again, aren't we? But this is what happens. They're spending £1,000 a month on stuff that gives them not that much pleasure. I can honestly tell you, I used to have a Nissan X-Trail. When I lived in Leeds in the UK, I had a car here, I had my Jeep, and then over in the UK, I had a Nissan X-Trail. I picked up for like 900 quid, right? And I loved that car because it was brilliant. It was great in the snow, four-wheel drive, very economical. I could do tip runs in it, just chuck sofas in the back and so on. Really, really good. And I bought it for like £1,000, 900 quid, and I think I sold it for like £600, something like that. So I lost like £300-£400 for the duration of owning it, which is about 18 months, which is amazing, right? You buy a brand new Mercedes at 35 grand, I don't know how much they are, like, you know, you sell it 3 years later or 18 months later, you've lost 10 grand, right? Doesn't make sense. This is what people with consumer debt do. People with jobs, people with consumer debt, this is what they do, right? And this money gets spent paying this lockdown. But this is what the wealthy do. Let's keep the same numbers. House number one, house number two, and a HMO. A HMO is a house of multiple occupation. It's where you've got four, five, six, seven people all staying in the same one. Now, the first person is spending £1,000. I can't write today. Okay, and these are making £1,000, right? There's a difference there of £2,000 a month. The first one is £1,000 down because they're buying all this stuff, and they've got houses and cars and Rolex watches. They're amazing me. People, oh, I'm going to get a new Rolex. How much is it? £5,000. How much have you got in investments? Oh, nothing. Got my pension. What? Oh, Rolex will go up in value. How do you know? What if you discover a planet and it's made out of Rolexes? I don't know, right? I don't know how stuff goes like that goes. It's like gold. You can't. Are you going to eat gold? I can't eat gold. I can't eat my Rolex. I can't live off that. I can't pay my electricity bill using a Rolex, right? I let you look at my watch for 5 minutes for that £128 bill. How's that? Would that work? Like, it's crazy. It's never going to work, right? But this is why the rich get richer and the poor stay poor, because the poor are spending it on consumer debt. They're getting into high levels of consumer debt. Like, if you could get an investment that paid you 20%, like, you'd jump on it, right? But instead, people get into a liability that costs them 20%. A credit card costs 20% a year, depending on which one you've got. It's crazy. Get your damn credit cards paid off, because this is what happens.
over a long period. And also, by the way, I need to add here that we've got inflation, rampant inflation, is how coronavirus is going to get solved from a financial point of view with the governments around the world, right? Rampant inflation is what's going to happen. But what you've got here is you've got consumer debt, consumerism, let's call it, and that sends your net worth down. Let's put that in a nice little box. And then we've got investments, and that's going to send your wealth up. Let's put that in a box. And you have a disparity between the two. That's why the wealthy get richer and the poor get worse, right? Because, I was going to say that big screen TV will go up in price. But actually, I was just in Media Market yesterday, and 55-inch TVs for like 400 quid. Like, I saw a beautiful 75-inch Samsung for like just over 1,050 euros. We've got a 55 and we paid 1,000 for it. And I'm like, we should get rid of that and buy a 70, because we need a 75-inch TV in our lives, right? Do you know what I mean? It's just ridiculous. But what happens is you get people who haven't got consumer debt because their cash flow is good and they're able to pay it all off. And then they move that money over to investments. And all that happens is that this investments here, so we've got shares, we've got property, and we've got business, that I can't spell. Shares and property will go up in value. And as inflation hits, it's going to keep going up in value because the value of the pound gets decreased, which pushes up the share price in real terms, right? If you've got a business, that's going to generate more cash for you then to buy shares and property. That's the only reason you should be having a business. The only reason I'm in business, yeah, we want to help people, and we want to create employment and do all that really nice stuff. But actually, we want to be in business to generate cash flow right here. So then we can buy more property and more shares. In the meantime, the person with a job, they spend it on consumerism, and it's costing them £1,000 a month, and finding themselves in this little rat race, and they have to work harder to pay more off and work harder to pay more off. Whereas here, you can work less to get the same level of result that a person in a job is. And now we've been doing this, I'm 48 now, and we've been in this since the age of 26. We've been doing this for 22 years. I first started reading about investing like when I was 13, 14. I remember taking the Yorkshire Evening Post on a Thursday into school, and we had GlaxoSmithKline. I used to be about £14 or £10, if I remember rightly, when I was about 14. And I'd look at what the yields was and dividends. And I didn't really understand it, but over a period of time, I got to know it. But we really hit the property investing at age 26. And here we are 22 years later. And what's happened and what we thought would happen has come true one way or another. And it always happens over a period of time. Let me show you what I mean by this. And it's a little bit weird how and why this happens. But it is the way of things, it is nature, it is what is going to happen. So if I was to tell you that the dinosaurs got killed by a big asteroid and that a similar asteroid will hit the Earth at some point in its future, you might go, never. But it's a fact. There's no getting away from it unless we build technology, which we haven't got yet, to actually get us away from that. It is a fact, it is going to happen. And as that is a fact, this is a fact as well. So right here, you've got property prices, right? It doesn't matter what happens. You might have a crash. Doesn't matter. If given enough time, say 40 years, right, doesn't matter. It's going to go back up, and it might crash again. And it doesn't matter. It's going to go back up, and it's going to keep going back up, and it's going to follow this line right here. This is why you should be investing in assets, because over time, yeah, it goes up and down. It goes up and down, yeah. Up and down, but all the time it's going up, up, up. And the reason it has to do that is because the government is continually printing money. We call it quantitative easing. The way that the government is going to get out of this £1 trillion, it was a £1 trillion deficit anyway, plus let's add another 400 billion, whatever coronavirus has actually cost, 400-500 billion, put everyone on furlough. How the hell are you going to get rid of 1.5 trillion in debt? And there's only one way of realistically getting rid of 1.5 trillion in debt, and it's not selling more to France and Spain, which we can't do now because of Brexit, right? There's only one way of doing it, And this is the only way that the UK is going to be able to do it. And you know what's coming? Inflation favours those people who've got assets, and it really unfavourable for those people who've got consumer debt and jobs and no assets. And I keep rattling on about this, but the way to get wealthy on this world is to buy yourself assets. You don't buy assets if you've got consumer debt, you pay off your consumer debt first. So let's make a list. So this will help you to understand how this works and what you should be doing. And by the way, I have to put in little caveats here. None of this is financial advice. I'm not financially regulated in any way, shape or form. I'm not a financial advisor. This is just what I would do if I was in a position of having large amounts of consumer debt. So number one is pay down consumer debt. Not your mortgage. Sell your car. Pay down your credit card. Buy a piece of shit car to drive around in for a year or two. Honestly, you do that, do two things. One is it takes your ego out. You're used to driving a Mercedes. Like one of the things I love, by the way, I used to love in Leeds, you pull up to a guy in a Mercedes and I'm in my Nissan X-Trail, beat up, you know, rust bucket, you know, knocked 60 in about 4 days. And he'd be looking really smooth and smart. And I'd look at him, I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, I ain't going to work today. You are, because you've got consumer debt in your nice Mercedes. How about you sell that, move into my car, okay, and clear it all off and start moving money into assets. It's never going to happen, though, because their ego is too much in the way. So that's the first thing that happens. It removes ego. Very good thing to have to happen. I'm not one of those people who thinks your ego is evil. I think we should have egos. Egos are very valuable things if used in the right way. Too much ego is, like, too much of anything is a bad thing. But number one, pay down your consumer debt. If you've got £5,000 of credit card debt, that's 10 months at £500 a month. How can you save £500 a month? Or it's 20 months at 250 quid a month. Or it's, £1,000, 5 months at £1,000. What can you get rid of? What can you save to once and for all get rid of this? And what if this is £50,000? Then fine, it's 100 months at 500, it's 200 months at 250, or it's 50 months at 1,000. This is what we call the money matrix. That's the first bit that you need to do. You've got to get rid of your consumer debt. Number two, you've got to create yourself an index fund. So I use Hargreaves Lansdowne. I invest into an ETF. It's a Vanguard FTSE 100 ETF, I think. And we've got various different investments, actually. And so, for example, we've got Tesla. We've got £7,000 worth of Tesla, and that's doing very well. We bought Tesla when it first came out at like £200 a share, and I had a couple of shares. And I'm like, surely not. I should have really gone in heavy back then. And I knew it, but I didn't. I was listening to other people, which was wrong. Anyway, you've got to invest. Once you've paid down your consumer debt, you've got to start. That's the word. Start investing. So you can do Vanguard, FTSE 100. Now, if you are going to invest in things like stocks and shares, which is fine, I know this is property, but we're going to talk about that. Doing something like this, the FTSE 100, it just follows the average. Top 100 companies, you get dividends, you reinvest them, and that little bucket of money will start increasing. If you can pay down your consumer debt, you were paying your consumer debt before anyway, you might as well move, now it's paid off, that money over to your Vanguard. Like, you can even start, like, £25 a month is better than nothing. And if you've got a couple of kids, by the way, like, you know, 3 or 4 years old, just start with £50 a month into one of their accounts, because by the time they get to 50, they'll have £1 million in there anyway in 45 years, 50 years, whatever that's going to be. So, you know, just start something. And this is what happens. This really peculiar thing kind of comes over you. And it's this idea of you kind of get addicted to this right here, saving money. And then you start doing little crazy things like, if I have a little side hustle that earns me £500 a month, after tax, that's maybe £300 a month. I can then, instead of £100, I can put that extra £300 into here. Now you're saving £400. That's £4,800 a year. Okay. That over 20 years is what, 100 grand? But we've not actually taken into account compound interest. But this is the bit that gets kind of interesting, because you start doing that and you start saving up and you start kind of realizing and your brain changes to this idea that you should be investing. And when that happens, by the way, it's like a miracle has happened, because a miracle has happened. Because finally, you're no longer under control from the chains of consumerism. And you see people in shops buying expensive Hugo Boss jumpers and T-shirts, right? And I go into shops and I look at Hugo Boss T-shirts and I go, that's really nice, that £130 T-shirt. And then I go to Primark and I buy myself, I'm not in a Primark, I'm in a Superdry top. But then I buy a Superdry 20 quid T-shirt, right? And I feel so much better, because that £129 I was going to spend on a Boss T-shirt, and I spent £20 on a Superdry T-shirt, that £109 can go into my ETF, right? But £109 over the next 20 years will turn into £700, okay? So maybe, maybe not, maybe £200, maybe £300. But if you continually, now, I'm not saying that you never buy a Hugo Boss T-shirt, because you might want to buy a Hugo Boss T-shirt. We just completed on a deal, a big business acquisition, which I can't talk about yet because, well, various reasons, but next week we can. And it's like, oh, what are we going to do to celebrate that? You should celebrate that. Have a cigar, have a bottle of champagne, eat donuts, God damn it. I'm not eating donuts. I'm on a diet. But you should celebrate those things. But if it's an everyday occurrence where you're buying Hugo Boss because you're trying to make yourself feel better because of some other stuff that's going on, or you're in so much consumer debt, you think, oh, if I spend 130 quid on a T-shirt, it doesn't really matter. Of course it matters. You should be paying it down. Because what happens is your consumer debt is weighing you down, and then when you pay it off, it flips. And then now your focus is on investing more. And when you invest more, you get more of a return. Okay, so then when you start building up enough to start getting deposits on property, like from 15 grand onwards, basically, that's how much you need. So that's starting investing. And then this, for me, like I'm a property investor, okay? And I'm a cash flow property investor. Well, what if prices drop? Awesome. I can buy more property at a lower price. I don't care about prices, right? And I know that's kind of opposite to what everybody says, because everyone's into capital growth. And I'm not, right? And it's up to you whether you are or not. But you start investing using the basic stuff, then you move into property investing. And the reason you move into property investing is, let me just do it up here. Here we go. If can you see that up there? Yeah, you can. So this is £100,000, and this is time. Let's just put that there, time. Okay. If you've got a 100 grand mortgage, this is zero, this is in 20 years' time. In 20 years' time, that 100 grand is not worth 100 grand. And the reason it's not worth 100 grand is because the government, bless the cotton socks, in their wonderful wisdom, keep printing money. What happens when they print money? Inflation happens. So the value of 100,000 in 20 years' time is probably worth about 70. If you take 2.5% off 100 grand and compound it over the next 20 years, probably works out about 70, 80 grand, something like that, whatever that number happens to be. But how much is the property worth? Let's say you bought it for 100, you got a mortgage of 100 in 20 years' time. Is that worth 200? There's your equity right there. How wonderful is that? But also, more important, and we've covered this before, more important than that, on that 100 grand mortgage, your mortgage might be, say, well, mortgage rates are low, but let's call it £500 a month at a 5% interest rate. Okay, £500 a month for the next 20 years, interest only, in 20 years, is probably only worth about 350, maybe 400. Because inflation has eroded your costs. What's that going to rent at? Well, let's say it rented at £500. What's the rent in 20 years' time? 800? 900? So that's the difference right there. That's why the rich get richer and the poor stay poor. So it's almost like a three-step process, and anything can be broken down into three steps, and it sounds really easy to do. Actually doing it is really goddamn hard, right? So, but number one, you've got to pay down consumer debt. I see people going, I want to get my first property. I just got to get my first one. And I'm like, well, how much consumer debt you got? I've got 40 grand. What is it? In what, you know, credit cards, loans? Oh, it's credit cards. At 20%? Yeah. I don't know many properties that are paying 20% return. So you've got to pay down your consumer debt. You just got to do it. It's just one of those things you've got to go through. You put yourself into that situation. It's about time to put your big girl and boy pants on and get yourself out of that situation. And it's something that people do not want to hear, because it's painful to hear this stuff. right? I know it's painful because I've gone through it. I've built it up and we had to go through it. And it was horrific paying that stuff off. And every time you move an extra £1,000 over, and you're like, oh, I could have gone out on that or bought something nice or bought a new phone or a new watch. But that's a consumerism aspect of your talking, right? When you pay this off, this is that miraculous thing that we were talking about, is that you just switch. It's kind of like this idea when you realize, you know, going and spending £100 per person on a meal to me right now is, it's just a terrible use of money, especially living here in Spain. We can go out and get a nice meal for 30 quid for all three of us, right? For a family. We go to Hard Rock Cafe in Valencia. It comes to like 50 euros, which is about £42, right? So for 50 euros, it feeds all three of us. We have an amazing meal. If that was £100 a head, you know, little one's only half a meal, I suppose, it's still 250 quid. It would drive me mad. And I see people doing this, putting it on the credit card, and like, you're paying for that meal 10 years down the line. This is what happened to me. I remember going to Pizza Express and paying for it on my credit card. I had like 10 grand's worth of debt on a credit card. I was paying for that meal for years after I ate that meal. It's absolutely ridiculous. So you've got to start paying down debt. You've then got to start investing little bits here and there. And if you've got 10 grand's worth of credit card debt, I don't really see too much of an issue with starting this now and putting £25 or £50 a month over. If that's the thing that will get you started, because I want you to feel what this feels like. And again, this is not financial advice in any way, shape or form. This is what I did. It's not what I did, actually. I started off with property and got into debt because of the property and then used the property to pay off the debt. And only now am I doing it. So I flipped mine around. But if I was starting again out with consumer debt, this is what I would do. That's a nicer way of me saying it for legal reasons, so people don't go, well, Dan told me to do this, this and this, so I'm going to sue him. So that's why. It's just what I would do if I was in this position again. I think that covers me. So you start investing, you start saving, and you've got to wait for this thing to happen, this flipping. It's like a switch inside your head, and it's the most peculiar thing when it does. And when you get to this point where you've paid off all your consumer debt and you're like, and the weight lifts off your shoulders, and now you start looking for opportunities. And by the way, a number of things also happen. So you pay down your consumer debt. You then maybe buy property or have businesses that then generates cash flow, and you have your time freedom. So if you can have financial freedom and time freedom, it opens up the entire space to go out and look for opportunities. That's the key. So like just recently, we've just completed on Tuesday a business deal that's turning over millions of pounds of properties, and I'm now a 25% director. There's a team of us. And the reason why we can go out and look at stuff like that is because we've got freedom in order to do that. And we've got cash available to invest in them. And we've got access to some very clever people where if we haven't got cash, we can work out where do we get the cash from. And it's playing a completely different game than we played just a few years ago, which was, we haven't got any money. We have to go out and earn the money. I just to finish up on this, I actually watched a video and it had 50 Cent in it. And he said the biggest learning for him was finding out that he could make money without having to do the work. So when he put on a concert, he'd have to go and sing at the concert, right? And then he'd get paid. And then when he realized that if he could produce stuff and be the owner and have other people go make their concerts and he just produced their stuff as a promoter and that kind of thing, that's when he made more of his money. And obviously, you know, there's a whole bankruptcy thing with him, and I don't know what to believe with that guy. Frankly, it's a smoke and mirrors quite a lot of the time. But who knows, right? But it's about freeing yourself up, getting away from the burden of consumer debt, and moving yourself into assets of some kind so that when the inflation hits, you can actually take advantage of it. All right, that will do us for today. I hope you enjoyed that. Went on a little bit longer than I wanted to. But if you've got any questions, just come and hit me up and ask. Other than that, we'll speak to you. We'll live again on Friday, we think, on the Mindset and Hustle show. Come and join me for that, and we'll speak to you then. My name's Dan Latta. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.